Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington, working on this pre-recorded program, The Remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Wednesday, January 5th, 2022. Authorities in northern Bahr el-Ghazal state say 15 people were killed during an attack by pastoralists from Sudan.
The attack occurred in the morning at around 5 a.m. and in the attack we lost 15 people and 3 people were injured.
And the mayor of the South Sudan capital, Juba, says a Somali investor has been detained for killing 2 casual workers during a demolition exercise.
We are told that the slab of the building collapsed on the neighbors who are participating in the breaking down of the whole building. They are demolishing it using their own hands.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Authorities in northern Bahr el-Ghazal state's Awil East County say at least 15 people were killed and several others injured by suspected Masriya Arab nomads on Tuesday. The Awil East County Commissioner says a group of armed Masriya tribesmen from Sudan attacked a village on Tuesday. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Kiri Yorlual, Awil East County's commissioner, says Masriya Arab tribesmen on horseback came from the Sudanese border town of Mairef and attacked in a Pobol village in the northern parts of the county yesterday.
The attack occurred in the morning at around 5 a.m. and in the attack we lost 15 people and 3 people were injured. We were surprised by this attack because it is an unprovoked attack and we don't know the cause of this attack. They came on horses. They came with about 60 horses. And one horse taken like 2 people. So if we can estimate, the force that was attacking was over 100 people. That is the force that attacked the area.
Commissioner Lual says the South Sudan People's Defense Forces, or SSPDF, repulsed the attackers. Lual is calling on the Sudanese government to arrest the perpetrators and bring them to justice.
To the neighboring Sudan, we ask them, we appeal to them to arrest these criminals if they are not behind this attack. We ask them to explain this and provoke attack to us, why they are doing this, why they are allowing their people to cross over to our side and kill our innocent civilians. Because we have been having migration from them all the time, all the year round. They would come at the beginning of the year or late December with their cattle, the pastoralists, to move to our areas in search of pasture and water. When they do this, they always sit with our communities in Kamaluan in conferences to discuss issues related to cattle migration to our area.
Ibrahim Marev is a representative of the Masriya community in northern Bahr el-Ghazal state and also is a senior member of the Border Peace Committee composed of Dinkamalual and Masriya members. He condemns the attacks and calls on the Sudanese government to immediately intervene to avoid further violence.
I want to tell my brothers, Dinka, Malwal, we are one people because we are living next to one another. Be calm and patient, and also to tell Masriya not to make any other attacks, and to the 2 governments to join hands, government of Northern Sudan and the government of South Sudan, to intervene and protect the civilians. We, the Masriya, this time, we want the government of Northern Sudan to intervene so that there is peace.
Commissioner Lual says 9 other people were killed in 3 separate attacks by suspected Masriya nomads in Awil East last week. He says the latest attack brings the total number of people killed in the past 2 weeks to 24. Lual says hundreds of civilians have been displaced to Angut and Weraganye areas as well as other neighboring villages. The Malwal Dinka of South Sudan and Masriya tribe of Sudan have held several post-migration peace conferences in recent years. The aim has been to convene a committee of Awil East, Twitch and Northern Liech representatives to follow up on the cattle raids and compensation claims. The 2 communities have agreed to compensate the families of Sikh Arab nomads who were killed in a cattle raid in the Twitch area of South Sudan. The two parties also agreed to share grazing land and water points. Competition for land and water have caused long-standing disagreements and frequent conflicts between the host farming communities in the Awil East and Twitch areas and the visiting herders. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaiding in Bor.
The mayor of South Sudan's capital, Juba, says city council authorities have detained an investor for illegally demolishing a building, killing two workers and injuring two others. The mayor says the investor will be charged with negligence and will have to compensate the families of the dead. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
Juba Mayor Michael Adu Alajabo says the building, which was being demolished, collapsed at around 10 a.m. yesterday. He says it was being used as a store along a road in the capital's Konyokonyo market.
We are told that the slab of the building collapsed on the neighbors who are participating in the breaking down of the whole building. They are demolishing it using their own hands. So two people died instantly. One is Ugandan by nationalist, and then the other one is identified to be a South Sudanese, and his name is Joel.
Alajabu says two other workers were injured and were rushed to a hospital. He says Juba City Council did a quick investigation and found out that a Somali investor had signed a contract with the South Sudanese owner of the land, but the investor decided to demolish the structure in order and build a new one. Alajabu says the old building was well built, but it had a red cross on it indicating that it's either not meant to be there or part of it was on the road and needed to be adjusted. He says the investor was not authorized by the government.
We realized the procedures for demolishing the structure was not right, and that is because even we in city council are not being informed, because always when you want to build any structure, you have to take a building permit from the city authority. And also when you want to demolish, you're supposed also to inform the city authority so that they are able to assist that particular person to give a guideline of how to demolish such a huge building so that it don't affect the surrounding.
Alajabu says the council always advises people to use a bulldozer to minimize accidents. He says the investor is in police custody and could face other charges. Alajabu says besides other penalties, the investor will have to compensate for those who died and pay the medical care costs for those who were injured. For VOA News, I am Winnie Sereno in Juba.
Still in Juba, residents of Muniki suburb busted a group of suspected armed robbers on Tuesday, beating them so badly and some had to be hospitalized. The suspected thieves shot at the residents who were pursuing them and tossed US dollars to people who would give way as they attempted to escape. David Manodanga has details for VOA from Juba.
The three armed men drove into Munuki neighborhood from the direction of Suk Melisia, a market in Munuki, but got stuck when they drove into a dead end. They abandoned their car at Munuki Stream and fled. Dozens of motorbike taxis, known as Boda Boda riders, and men and women on foot chased the suspects down the Mangat River and apprehended one of them. Florence Semira, one of the residents, tells Sustan in Focus that the suspected thieves shot at those who were pursuing them and threw money to distract people, but the residents kept chasing after them.
These thieves were being pursued from far. They were about to be caught, but they kept throwing money so that people could stop to collect the money as they escaped. Some people were collecting the US dollars, but others kept running after them. They ran up to Muniki, and when they tried to turn, they got busted at the Muniki River because there was no way there. They stopped, left their car and ran on foot by the riverbank. But when they reached Dar es Salaam suburb, they were caught by the police. They had a lot of money, US dollars, and no one knows where they stole it from.
A five-year-old girl whose name is withheld because of her age says she was playing with other children in the area when she saw the suspected thieves driving towards them.
We were playing outside, the friends, and then we saw a car speeding towards us, and somebody about the circle is chasing after them, saying, thieves, thieves, but he drove off, and they never got him. They drove over here and turned towards the river, and then he splashed money and fired gunshots. One of the men said, let the people leave the money and keep pursuing the thieves.
One resident who asked to be identified only as Rizik for fear of being identified by the suspects said he was surprised when he heard gunshots and saw people running in all directions.
The gunshots started from that side of Sukmelisia. I heard the gunshots, but I did not pay much attention because I did not know what was going on. Just a few moments later, I saw people running anyhow, and also the gunshots were getting closer. The man kept running while shooting the gun until they passed through the river up to the tarmacked Gudele Road.
The residents managed to catch two of the fugitives and the police arrested the third. The South Sudan National Police Service spokesperson, Major General Daniel Justin, says the suspects are under medical care because their captors beat them badly.
Yesterday in the afternoon in the Munich area, we received a report that there were some people, I think, involved in a case, a criminal case, and the public managed to arrest them, and some of them were beaten and injured. And we came in as police and we took the injured persons to the hospital. They were treated and we seized some money. So the case is open, but now we are still gathering more information about the case.
When the residents searched the suspect's car, they found a computer bag containing documents and a laptop computer and seven different vehicle numbers plate. The police say no one has reported a robbery since then. For VOA News, I am David Monadanga in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, scientists say the cases of the Omicron COVID-19 variant surging around the world is less fatal in South Africa. Find out why after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what do you do to conserve your energy when it is very hot outside?
I drink lots of cold water because it relaxes me. So immediately I become dehydrated or I feel hot. I take in more cold water, yes, and it makes me okay.
Well, I live around the beach, so on a hot day, I just take a stroll on the shore wearing a light cloth, so that I can feel the sea breeze around myself.
If it is hot, you have to make sure that you get somewhere where it is cool. You go and bathe. Those are normal things you have to do.
When I'm at my home, I undress. It is my home. I have a bedroom. My home is big. Why won't I undress?
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the coronavirus pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and noses when we are in crowded areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Medical authorities in South Africa say the Christmas and New Year holiday period has so far done little to increase the severity of the country's fourth wave of COVID-19, driven by the Omicron variant. Up until recently, South Africa has been the epicenter of the Omicron outbreak. Local scientists were the first to detect in November the highly infectious variants now causing health emergencies around the world. Darren Taylor reports from Johannesburg.
Previous vacation periods have resulted in dramatic spikes in COVID-19 infections, hospitalizations, and deaths as millions of people traveled and interacted around South Africa. This time around, that's not happening.
The severity in terms of the amount of oxygen that's needed, the number of patients that are requiring ventilation is a lot lower than what we've seen in other waves.
Dr. Michelle Groom is head of public health surveillance and response at South Africa's National Institute for Communicable Diseases.
We know that over the holiday periods there are slightly lower testing numbers, but I think the positivity rates have been steadily decreasing in all of the provinces. And so I think that's quite a good indicator that we're on the downward slope of this fourth wave. If it was just that people weren't accessing testing, we would still expect the positivity rates to be very high. But I think the positivity rates definitely are coming down at the moment. So I think that's a very positive sign.
One of South Africa's leading infectious diseases specialists, Fitz University's Professor Shabir Madi, estimates up to 40% of the population of 60 million have contracted Omicron. But he adds counting numbers of infections is academic.
Our focus really needs to be on hospitalization and death. The most important is that there's been a complete uncoupling of the cases and hospitalization rate and death.
In the South African context, says Madi, Omicron's not sending many people to hospital and is causing far fewer deaths.
This time last year, we were looking at least two to three times greater number of hospitalizations taking place. And the number of people that were dying of COVID-19, including as an example during the course of the Delta wave, which was our third wave, was about 10 times greater than the number of people that have been dying of COVID-19 during the course of this particular wave.
Groom says it's possible deaths will drop even further in coming months.
This lower level of deaths compared to what we've seen previously, I think, is really encouraging. And I think we can get those deaths even lower if we can just, you know, get more people to vaccinate. Booster vaccinations are now available, and especially for those who just got the one dose of Johnson & Johnson. I think definitely to get the second dose of Johnson & Johnson as soon as possible. And obviously those with Pfizer, you know, when they're eligible to have their booster dose as well. And for those who haven't vaccinated, because we know that vaccination and prior infection are going to really protect against the severe disease outcomes like hospitalization and death.
Mardi says reasons for the apparent mildness of disease that Omicron's causing in South Africa include extensive immunity in the population, both because of vaccination and infections during the first three waves.
I do believe that the high percentage of the population have been infected with Omicron, much greater than the number of cases that have been recorded. So there's immunity that's also evolving against Omicron, which will protect against infection due to Omicron because of people having been infected.
Groom urges people not to become blasé because Omicron's less severe in South Africa and not to rely on natural immunity to protect them against severe disease. Rely on vaccines is her message. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
In Kenya, the Independent Medical Legal Unit says there were at least 198 cases of human rights violations in the country in 2021. The body is calling for police to be investigated over the death of 14 Kenyans during the enforcement of COVID-19 protocols. The unit says cases of extrajudicial killings rose by just over 30%, with Nairobi County accounting for the largest single number of state-perpetuated human rights violations at nearly 26%. Maureen Odhiambo reports from Nairobi.
The newly released statistics on cases of police brutality documented by the Independent Medical Legal Unit have painted an ugly picture on the state of human rights in Kenya. The civil society organization have raised concerns and now wants the Kenyan government to prosecute the police officers behind the excessive use of force and torture of some Kenyans. The organization's executive director, Peter Kiama, said that there were 198 cases of violation of various degrees, including fatalities from police action in the year 2021.
2021 has been one of the worst years ever experienced between the police and citizens since the promulgation of the Constitution of Kenya 2010. 10 years down the line, with huge amounts of resources spent on policing reform, we expected a different result, not an era of torture, extrajudicial, summary and arbitrary executions, and enforced disappearances accompanied by very low levels of accountability.
In the report, Nairobi County accounts for the largest single number of state-perpetrated human rights violations at 25.8%. The legal unit raises concerns over human rights violations attributed to police. Mr. Kiama said that, apart from the police officers, other security agencies are also taking part in extrajudicial killings and forced abductions.
It is important to note that other security agencies, apart from the police, are taking up the same bad attitudes and practices. Case in point being daylight abductions and enforced disappearances in the war against poaching, especially in central Kenya and upper eastern regions. We have seen cases in Nyeri of people being abducted in broad daylight and they disappear never to be seen again, or they disappear and we find them dead in forests and rivers in those regions.
The lobby group noted that men are most likely to be victims of state-perpetrated human rights violations, accounting for 82.83% of the torture, cruel, inhumane, and degrading treatment, enforced disappearances, and extrajudicial executions. Out of 198 cases, 164 are males, while the remaining 34 are female victims. The group has expressed its concerns over the level of police violations as Kenya heads to 2022 general elections. Kiama says police must stop use of force while enforcing law and order.
We'll have a lot of public assemblies and protests, demonstrations, and therefore we would like to call out the police to ensure that they police without unnecessary, unwarranted violence, use of force or use of firearms, in order to protect life and protect the dignity of our people.
As per the report, out of 198 violations, 43.9% were extrajudicial summary and arbitrary executions, 42.4% are of cruel, inhumane and degrading treatment and punishment, 12.6% are cases of torture, and 1% are of enforced disappearance. Among those tortured and executed were two middle-level public servants. Reporting for VOA, I am Maureen Ojiombo in Nairobi, Kenya.
From Nairobi, we move to Cameroon, where authorities say thousands of people have gotten the COVID-19 vaccine so they can attend the continent's top soccer tournament, the African Football Cup of Nations, or AFCON, which begins on Sunday, January 9. Organizers are putting out the word that even if they have been vaccinated, fans will also need to present a negative test to enter the stadiums. Moki Edwin Kinzika reports from Yaoundé.
Motorcycle taxi drivers assemble and wait to be vaccinated against COVID-19 at Misasi Hospital in Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé. Among them is 29-year-old Gabriel Nze, vice president of the local taxi drivers association. Nze says he wants to see the AFCON matches, and this is the only way.
I'm not taking the vaccination because I really trust it. No. My main plan is to get to the field, see players like Sadio Mane from Senegal, Mohamed Salah from Egypt, all of those strikers that they play in Europe. I've been hearing about them, but I've not seen them. This is an opportunity for me to take my vaccination and get to the field to see them. Most of the people are taking this vaccination now just because of the Nations Cup.
Nze says the Taxi Drivers Association has been encouraging members who want to see the AFCON matches to voluntarily get the COVID-19 vaccine. He said at least 300 motorcycle taxi riders have been vaccinated. Hotels, restaurants, and bus companies are also urging their staff to get the jab so they are eligible to interact with the thousands of people coming to Cameroon for AFCON. Fans are required to be vaccinated as well. Last month, the government said access to stadiums will depend on presentation of vaccination cards. The Confederation of African Football, or CAF, said fans will also be expected to show proof of negative COVID-19 test results that are not more than 24 hours old. Those who do not have the test results can be tested for COVID-19 at the entrance to football stadiums. Dr. George Allen Etundimbala is Director of Pandemics and Epidemics at Cameroon's Public Health Ministry.
Nous avons multiplié les sites de vaccination, fait venir d'autres doses de vaccination.
Dr. Mbala says besides increasing the number of vaccination centers, Cameroon has imported several million COVID-19 vaccines from China, Europe and America so that AFCON can be played in excellent sanitary and health conditions. He says most people who are getting the vaccine tell vaccination teams that they do not want to miss AFCON, which is the most coveted football event in Africa. All football fans, players and officials coming from abroad are being tested for COVID-19 at airports, seaports and roads upon arrival in Cameroon. People testing positive for the virus are isolated and taken to hospitals for treatment. Authorities have not said how many visiting fans, players and match officials have been tested positive. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay at home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's all we prepared for you this Wednesday. We now end the show with Kwazo's Clan and the song Benia Juba.
Oh, you're here. Yeah, still alive records. Benia Juba. Many men.
And in a Marco.
Cool bush, yeah.
Cool bush.
Binia Juba,
Binia Hilwa, Halatu,
Binia Tai,
Binia Tama,
Hilwa Tai,
Binia Tama,
Binia Juba,
Binia Tami, Wakadaru, Zehimo,
Binia Juba,
Binia Tami,
Anabi Hilwa Kabi, Binia Juba,
Binia Tami,
to finish my life,
Wakadaru, Zehimo.
Binia Juba,
Binia
Tami, Nagumi Sudan, Binia Juba,
Binia Tami,
Binia Itikiyafa, Binia Juba,
Binia Tami,
Hilwa, Binia Juba,
Binia
Tami, Yama Tible, Binia De, Binia Juba,
Binia Tami,
Anabihiba,
Mama,
Binia Juba,
in the Bible, watch and attend and fart. Asimto Binia Juba ben Nafsar Wakar. Walk Yafa Jamil, Zem Mary Matian. What beto, Binia Besikrito. Jude beto, Zem Miss Malaika. She goes out and not every weekend. I like that, believe me and she's mine. Binia Juba, always you don't mind. In the bed, you feel that Zewala Lakumsa. And I'm out of your bed, lay you Malaka. With black whiskey, she gives me flavor. I like her, Binia Juba, oh shit, yeah. I like her. It's more like a Sudan, I like her. He'll water many men, what my child, my fifi bed not. Can index all now, call 04, yeah.
Binia Jami, Wapadaru, Zehimo.
Binia Juba,
Binia Jami,
and I believe of your bitch.
Wapadaru, Zehimo.
Binia Juba,
Binia Jami,
to finish my life, yeah.
Wapadaru, Zehimo.
Binia Juba,
Binia Jami,
Nagumi Sudan.
We have been listening to Kozus Clan and the song Binia Juba. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes, phones, and vehicles. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Ni rawai doriata.